Good evening. I hope you're well.
Good evening. I am. I hope you are too.
We're waiting on other people. I'm sorry, say again.
Oh, I said not a problem.
Hello.
Good evening.
Good evening.
We are starting with verse 228 in section 50. It's continuation from yesterday.
All right.
L'shem yichud kudsha b'richu ishkinte bid hilu urchimud hilu urchilu urchimud. Leakta Shem Yudhe Bavavhe Biyehuda Shalim Bashem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La Sok Torah Mitzvah Vayhino Amadunai Elohino Elena Maseya Denu Kurene Elena Maseya Denu Kurenehu Becha Di Imita Bara Itea Zivuga Ila Arikat Va Nishmata kadisha v'dehai berit ikre berit akudsha berichu v'yalda baye lekevna v'ched bavta dakima v'vaye b'ched bavta d'shabat d'iru zivuga d'cha kinin Yalda v'yadata ki shalom achalecha teha shekinta atya imach v'sharya v'vetach v'yalda ufakata navehecha v'lo techeta mai v'lo techeta Shilisha Masha Kame Shekinta Ed Bavta de Mitzvah. The second reason why he should gladden his wife is that if his wife conceives in consequence of this mating, the supernal mating endows her with a holy soul. For this covenant of the supernal mate that endows the holy soul is the covenant of the Holy One, blessed be He. By this mating with his wife, he causes the mating of the Holy One, blessed be He, with the Shekhinah. It behooves one then to concentrate on that joy as one should concentrate on mating on Shabbat, which is the sage's mating, that is, the holiness of the mating when one returns from a journey equals the holiness of the mating on Shabbat Eve. Hence the quotation, "You shall know that your tent is at peace," indicates that you will know the Shekhinah is with you and has settled on your home. Hence, "and you shall visit your habitation and not sin," means that you should not sin by refraining from intercourse before the Shekhinah, which is the joy in a precept. Namely, one must not prevent the union of the Holy One, blessed be He, with the Shekhinah, through which a soul can be endowed. This is a great sin. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Last part, right?
You're breaking up. Please say again. Say again, please.
I wasn't the one that made the comment, so I'm not sure who else is on the call.
Hannah Esther is who made the comment. She made the comment.
Okay, well, it broke her up, so maybe she may have gotten disconnected.
Right. Hold on a second. I'll check. No, there are two people on, so.
I'm sorry. I got kicked off. I'm having problems with my phone.
Okay.
So I don't know. Can you hear me? Oh,
yes,
the last part. The last part that you read about being a sin, was that not waiting for the Shekhinah on Shabbat?
No. It's what we talked about yesterday. That it's a sin if you don't participate.
Malcolm.
Welcome, Malcolm. The sin is that you're not having intercourse with your husband at the appropriate times. That's the sin.
Okay. Thank you.
Malka, we just finished verse 228, and we're looking to have comments about it.
Why would that be a sin?
Because the mitzvah is to be fruitful and multiply. And if you don't participate, the actions of the physical world impact the actions of the spiritual world. And when people are in zivug, are in sexual union, conjugal, they are actually creating souls. That is the way that the soul is carved off from God, separates from God, is through the action in our physical world of people having intercourse. At least that's my opinion from what I've read.
So we're told how we're endowed with a holy soul. I think a lot of times we don't take that into consideration. We're told here how we have a child with a holy soul.
Well, this verse is telling you how to draw higher level souls.
Mm-hmm.
And there are also some meditations that can be done that will help draw higher level souls.
But well, isn't this still just a continuation of the husband going on the journey and returning home?
Right.
You know,
what
so
they're saying is, go ahead.
No, I was finished.
No, it is a continuation of the previous verse where we talked about the husband being on a journey and he gets the merit of returning safely because he said the prayer of the journey while at home with his wife. And so when he returns, the Shekhinah is now being reunited with Hashem by action of his return to his own home.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's my understanding of what we just read. Verse 229. Ke gavnada talmidei hachamim demit parshan min shahu Kol inun yomin tishabata begin leitaska beoraita sibuga ila istavag behold la mit parsha minai who begin the yishtakach the karvanukwa kevan the al shabbat bayan talmidei hachamim lechad talid bitu begin yekar zivuga ila ukavna lebayhu biruta demarehon kima deitmar. Similarly, the great scholars abstain from their wives all weekdays, so as not to be distracted from their full occupation with Torah. The supernal mate consorts with them, and the Shekhinah does not leave them, so that they remain male and female. And when Shabbat comes, these scholars have to please their wives for the honor of the supernal mate, as we have explained, causing the supernal mate to endow them with holy souls. They should direct their hearts for their master's desire. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Okay. The last sentence, my translation says they should meditate on their master's desire.
What do you think a meditation is?
Well, it's the same, but I should want to know the words were a little different.
I do, and I appreciate you adding that whenever you have these differences.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to clarify that it is the same thing.
Right. Well, meditating is directing your heart toward your creator, so.
Right. Does anybody else have any comments they want to make? Is the verse clear?
Well, it has said this several times before, that scholars usually wait until Shabbat for mating, so it's not really anything new that we haven't really, you know, read before, because we've read it several times.
Correct. All right, 230, verse 230. Da hai mande iteya beyo me la venater La kibka yaot koli nun yomin zivuga ila'a izdavag bachadeya deishtakach dekar venukva gewan deitokiyat iteya bae lechadta La chedva de mitzvah, chedva inun b'nei mehem nuta, b'ayan l'kavna, li ba'uruta b'chai. Similarly, the supernal mate joins with a man whose wife is on her unclean days, and dutifully abides by the laws of family purity all of those days, so that he remains male and female. And when his wife is purified, he is obligated to rejoice with her with the joy in a precept, the joy of the supernal. All the reasons we have discussed reach the same conclusion. The main objective is that the faithful must direct their hearts and desires to this. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Hello?
Essentially, yes, go ahead.
Hello? Now, what does it mean that he remains female and male? How does that occur in the male?
What these verses have been saying, when a man is separating from his wife, the Shekhinah joins with him so that he remains male and female.
What does it mean, join? Join with him? Is it?
A soul is a male and female together.
Right.
In unity. A man without a female, without a wife, is not whole. The female without a man, there's a discussion whether she's whole or not. But in this generation, because of the growing, the elevating of the female, in my opinion, she is also not whole. Now, the joining is exactly that. It's the unification of male and female. And the Shekhinah is the supernal female. The Shekhinah is the female aspect of God in the academic vernacular. So whenever a man is separated from his wife, either a long journey, or when in the days of her impurity, or in any type of separation, he leaves the house, he needs to be whole, in meaning male and female. And what happens is the Shekhinah joins with him if he is on that elevated level that he can join with the Shekhinah. And that means that he's studied Torah, where the Shekhinah will join with him. If a man doesn't do that, then he remains not whole that whole day. And that's what this verse is describing.
Okay. So in the studying Torah, then he becomes unified. But if he's not studying Torah and doing other things,
he becomes unified with the Shekhinah if he is separated from his wife.
Right. Okay.
If he's separated from his wife, he studies Torah. The Shekhinah comes to him and unifies with him through the words of the Torah, because that's literally what. The words of the Torah, the Gemara, and so forth. That's why there's so much emphasis on studying the Gemara, in my opinion. Because you're studying the words of Torah, and so the Shekhinah comes, and that's what creates the wholeness within the person, within the man. And then that once the Shekhinah is there, unless the man sins, the Shekhinah stays with him the whole day.
Okay. And what if he doesn't have a wife?
If he doesn't have a wife, he is not a whole person.
Okay, I got it. Okay.
But, it's the same idea. A woman, when she's married in the Orthodox tradition, puts some form of covering over her hair. And when she gets divorced, she still continues to wear that hair covering, indicating that the unity of the male and female is still in effect, even though she's been divorced. It's the same idea here. If the man isn't married, but he's studying Torah, the female comes to him, because otherwise he's not whole. And if he's not whole, then the words of Torah have no true vessel. So there needs to be the Shekhinah connected to the man while he studies Torah.
Okay.
If he's not married when he stops studying, then the Shekhinah leaves him and there's no replacement because he's not yet married.
Okay, interesting.
At least that's my understanding.
Well, didn't Moses separate from Zipporah?
He separated from Zipporah because he was constantly connected to the Shekhinah.
Right. Well, it seems like a man who's not married.
He needed to be available to whenever Hashem called him. The male aspect of Hashem. So, you know, for him to be connected to the Torah would have implied the impurity of semen, that he would not have been available to go to Hashem if he had that impurity on his body. So that's, you know, that's why he separated from her. And that was the discussion between Miriam and Aaron that caused Miriam, both of them, to become impure and to become leprous. Verse 231.
She Fahu Divarnash Padna Fake Liarcha Yatir Mean Beteya Begin Ziduga Ila Beiz Davgat Bahadeya Sahate Bezimna Divarnash Ubeteya Ikra deveta devitru begin dishkinta laita de min beta begin devitru gemadetaninan dikti zai vieha yitraka ochela saraimo Tishraga itelakat maitama begin dishkinta atat leveta. One may say that a man is more praiseworthy while journeying than when he is at home, because the supernal mate embraces him while he is on his way. Come and see, when a man is at home, the foundation of the house is the wife, because of whom the Shekhinah does not leave the house. As we have learned, it is written that when he brought her to the tent of his mother Sarah, the candle was rekindled, as it was when Sarah, his mother, was alive. That is because the Shekhinah came to the house for his wife's merit. The Shekhinah therefore dwells in the house because of the wife's merit. Questions, comments, thoughts?
They kind of keep saying the same thing.
It's saying the same thing, but it's not.
Okay, because of, the verse, I suppose that's when Rebecca comes into the tent of Isaac.
That's what it's mm-hmm. referring to. But mm-hmm. it's the earlier verses were speaking of the
how the female, the Shekhinah, joins with the male, whether he's on his way or he's walked out of the house, but he's not physically present with his wife within the concaves or the context of a home or a house. Here it's saying that the Shekhinah doesn't leave the house as long as the man is still in the house. But she's only there because of the merit of the wife. That's a very different thing than what we've read before, even though it appears that it's somewhat similar. Am I being clear, or is it still confusing?
No. I'm wondering when a man goes into the hospital because of an illness, if the Shekhinah follows him too.
When a man has an illness?
Mm-hmm. And is in the hospital. I mean, it's kind of journey in a way.
The Shekhinah wouldn't go with him other than for protection, because when he's ill, he's in lack, and he's not whole. There's a reason why he's ill, which, you know, there was a cause of what created the illness within him, something that he had done, either this lifetime or a previous lifetime. So the Shekhinah wouldn't go with him to the hospital, because he's not whole. Now, we read that the Shekhinah goes with people outside of Israel to protect them. But that's only people who are generally whole. So the Shekhinah, it's really two different frames of reference. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't be saying the same thing.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Does the wife obtain her merit from Hashem, or does she obtain her merit from her husband?
She obtains her merit from herself. And
from herself?
Because of herself being whole, being doing what is the work that she is, the spiritual work she is to do, building the home, raising the children, doing what she is supposed to be doing in that context, that merit brings the Shekhinah to be with her.
Okay.
Remember, we're dealing with an earlier generation where the female has diminished herself vis-a-vis the level that the male is at. Now, in this generation, we're having the female building herself back to the level of the male. So you have different contexts. And, you know, that's my opinion, and I teach that very clearly. Not everybody... I'm not sure if other people who study the Zohar would agree with me. It was never presented to me that way, but it's clear to me from how I observe the world that we live in, and the feminine movement, and all of these things that are changing between the roles of men and women. There's a purpose behind that. It's part of the plan of creation. And therefore, some of these things that the Zohar says would apply to earlier generations and may still apply to people who have not reached the certain levels of consciousness.
So you're saying that the women's movement is part of the creation? I didn't understand that statement.
when the women's movement is part of the plan of creation. Otherwise, it wouldn't happen. Everything that happens in the physical world is part of the plan of creation, or it would not happen.
I totally agree.
You have to remember that Hashem is a micromanager. Everything is ordained. You're watching the movie. And the only free choice you have is whether to stop your reactions. But if you don't stop your reaction, the movie is going to play out just as it was written at this point and for this situation. If you stop your reaction, you change movies. But as you change, as you go back into the new theater with the theater that has less chaos in that movie, you're still playing out the process. So anything that happens in the physical world is part of the plan of creation.
Hashem is perfect. Because in my new woman movement.
It's part of the plan of creation. There's a need for it. There's a purpose behind it. Even if we don't understand that purpose. But the main purpose, less so in the last 20 years than it was before that, but during the 60s, during the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, all of that, the women's movement had the very specific idea to make men uncomfortable, to make men question, so that they would change themselves and start to grow, as well as for the women to change themselves.
I totally agree that the women's movement, feminists today, are empowered by their own abilities due to the fact that they are acquiring higher positions in government or businesses, whatever that may be. And, you know, even today, it's like they don't need a husband. They can go to the sperm bank and get a sperm, you know,
yes.
Those things. But it seems like men are moving in the wrong direction. They're not becoming men. They're becoming more like women. So what is all that about?
I'm not sure I would agree with you that men are becoming more feminine, but men are learning to love their neighbor as themselves. They're learning to operate in the frame of Chesed more than in Gevurah.
Okay. Some men prefer strong women.
I don't see that as actually being more feminine. It's just different traits.
Okay.
That's not to say that you're incorrect, Malka, because there are 70 ways of understanding the Torah at all times.
Well, I know in some relationships, the man is liking their women to be stronger and you know, make more money than them and take over, you know, the finances and the rearing of the children, and you know, which we are supposed to do as women. But they enjoy, a lot of men enjoy the strongness of the woman in the relationship when it comes to outside the home.
That's true, but even so, that has always been true. There's always been women who, or men who enjoyed having a strong-willed woman as his wife. It helped him grow. It helped him make decisions. It's, you know, the relationship between a man and a woman in the home, within the marriage. It's just as the souls are relative to what the souls need, the marriages are even more so.
Okay.
But it's very hard to generalize in that sense. Even within with the idea of the women's movement, there have been different stages in the women's movement. And within a given chapter of a feminist organization, each person in that is, you know, they're there for a purpose and for the relative situation in their soul and their husband's soul. Everything is always relative to what is the tikkun of the individuals. So since we're a little bit over time, I'm going to wish everyone a beautiful evening and shalom. And we'll study again tomorrow at the same time, 4:30 West Coast. Tonight at 7:00 is the Tikkuni Zohar class. And tomorrow night at 7:00 is a question and answer session. Shalom to all.
Shalom. Thank you, Jonah.
Thank you.